Recently, National Review wrote, Planned Parenthood's new annual report proves abortion is its mission. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is a returning guest, Dr. Michael Brown. He's the host of a nationally syndicated program called Line of Fire on the radio, and his latest book is called Jezebel's War with America, The Plot to Destroy Our Country and What We Can Do to Turn the Tide. Dr. Brown, thank you so much for joining us again.
Hey, great to be with you.
What are your comments about that National Review quote about Planned Parenthood and their commitment to abortion?
Well, that's like saying that the sun rises and in the morning and sets at night. I mean, who didn't know that? Who's surprised by that? Who's in the least bit surprised to hear that Planned Parenthood is deeply committed to abortion, that Planned Parenthood makes a living off abortion, that even more important than anything is the right to abort to Planned Parenthood. No surprise with that in the least.
Okay, tell us about your book, Jezebel, and how does that tie into this?
Oh, it ties in big time, Jerry. When we look at Jezebel in the Bible, so 3,000 years ago, this wicked queen, she was a pagan princess, married King Ahab. He was already doing evil, but 1 Kings 21 tells us she incited him to do evil. She was a staunch idol worshiper. She killed the prophets, so she was murderous. She emasculated her husband. She intimidated by fear. 2 Kings 9 associates her with sexual immorality and with sorcery, witchcraft. And when we look at this woman and think about her, and then think that there's a Jezebel mentioned in the New Testament about 1,000 years later, and she's associated with being a false prophetess, with sexual immorality, and with idolatry.
Where in the New Testament?
In Revelation, the second chapter, okay. When Jesus is speaking to the church in Thyatira, he mentions a woman called Jezebel. So either that's her actual name, or that's the name he's giving her because of these characteristics. We recognize that there are demonic forces operating in a concerted way. I mean, Jezebel even intimidated Elijah the prophet at one point. And in point of fact, when we look at this, we see a connection. You can connect all these dots in a demonic way. And we know in the ancient world, when you had idolatry, you had baby killing. You had sacrifices to babies. In my book, Jezebel's War with America, I talk about the same demonic spirits that operated 3,000 years ago operating again today in a concerted way where you can connect the dots. So from the spirit of idolatry in America, turning away from the one true God, to the sexual seduction through internet and porn and levels no society has ever seen in world history, to the militant baby-killing spirit, to radical feminism, to emasculating of men in the culture, to the rise of witchcraft, to the war on gender, turning men into women, women into men, to the silencing of the prophetic voice of the church through intimidation and fear. You see all these things happening. They're not disparate threads going in different directions. They're all spiritually united. And especially when we look at the aspect of baby killing, we're not talking about a tragic situation, say, where an 11-year-old girl is raped by an uncle to find out, to everyone's shock, that she's pregnant. And does she have the baby or not? And can she tell anyone? Okay, that's a horrific, tragic situation. And this little girl is trying to figure out what to do, can't believe she actually conceived a baby. That's totally different than the feminists and other women scratching the Supreme Court doors, crying out for the right to abort, shout your abortion movement, boasting about it. And the level of what goes on with Planned Parenthood, as Attorney Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel said on my radio show last year, that in the trial that they were in with the expose, the videos exposing Planned Parenthood, he said they have evidence of utterly shocking, mind-boggling acts by Planned Parenthood clinics where, for example, they would get a menu of organs that were needed for a given day for these various companies that would buy for them. And he said there were cases where hearts, beating hearts, were taken out of babies, or the abortion performed in such a way and the skull cut open so the brain could be taken out when the baby's still alive. I mean, things that are ghastly beyond words, and you go back to the baby-killing spirit in the ancient world and that it's associated with idolatry and Jezebel being a murderer, you think it is the very same demonic junk we're dealing with today.
You know, our good brother in Christ, Todd Starnes, used to work with Fox News for years, and then he lost his position. It's my understanding he got fired specifically for saying on the air that Democrats today are like the ancient worshipers of Moloch and Baal and so forth, with the same Jezebel spirit that you're talking about, where they engage in child sacrifice. I think he said instead of worshiping Jesus, you know, they're worshiping Moloch and Baal and so forth, something to that effect. Your comments on that? I mean, this is a very interesting point, and I think if you read the Bible, you can see child sacrifice is so roundly condemned. Do they not see the links between child sacrifice back then and abortion today, where people are sacrificing on the convenience of, or the altar of convenience, if you will?
Yeah, I had followed what happened with Todd Starnes when he was responding and interacting with Pastor Robert Jeffress. Interestingly, I was on his show to talk about Jezebel's war with America, and somehow we got by with that. It may have been he went one step further in his dialogue with Pastor Jeffress, but I understand that there are some people that really think that abortion is compassionate. They're looking at women in need in different situations, and they just focus, say, on the rape victim, as I mentioned moments ago. But the bottom line is, if that was your position, then you would want abortion outlawed in 99% of the other cases. What we have today is pushing back against President Trump and the pro-life movement in America. What we have today now is various Democrats even going further to the left and further in the way of baby killing, passing laws like in the state of New York and celebrating when the law passed, in their houses of Congress there that you can abort for right up to the moment of delivery. If the woman emotionally is, I can't do this, I can't go through this, theoretically, you could abort that baby. There's no legitimate reason. Give the baby up for adoption at that point. You have the governor of Virginia justifying infanticide in certain cases. You have constant pushback against the Born Alive Protection Bill, where a baby that survives abortion, the abortion doctor is required to give medical care. You have constant pushback against it, so you realize there's something more extreme. And then when you see the pictures, the visualizations, even a movie like Unplanned, which is hardly graphic in what it shows, but when you see a baby being suctioned out and the utter shock of what's actually happening, and then you multiply these numbers by 65 million. Look, you're a historian of early America, and in the days of Thomas Jefferson, say around 1800, the population of America was a little over 5 million. We've aborted 65 million babies. How this cannot be a larger demonic issue, how this cannot be connected in some level to that child sacrificing spirit, I can't deny the connection myself.
To comment a little bit, if you would, about Moloch and Baal and the baby angle to it. And, you know, King Hezekiah, who was a great king, but he had an evil son, Manasseh, who engaged in child sacrifice. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's mentioned often in the Torah about a horrific prohibition. And in Jeremiah 19, it's one of the reasons given, Jeremiah 7, Jeremiah 19, for the destruction of Judah, for sending them into exile. And in Jezebel's war with America, it's a very intense chapter, the abortion chapter. The whole book is very intense, in fact. But the chapter in abortion, I give some accounts from the ancient world where they describe what this baby killing act would look like. So Molech is, or Molech, the god primarily associated with this, but this could be a manifestation of Baal as well, or Baal worshipped in different locations with baby sacrificed to them. But they would have some statue of the god. And he might have like a large belly, so there would be kind of like a platform, and it would be steel, and it would be superheated from inside. In some cases, it would actually open up, and the baby would be put on it. So you've got a baby that is being burned alive. I mean, just it'd be like putting a child on top of a burning superheated oven or something like that. It's unimaginable. You could, the screams, so you'd have a lot of shouting and musical sounds going on that would obviously drown out the baby screaming, but in some cases the thing would then close up, so it would just be like put into a giant furnace, That's how it was done. And somehow this was seen as an act of devotion. Somehow this was seen as an act of devotion that would somehow bring life or fertility or things like that. It's unimaginable to think about how this could happen. And something absolutely wild, the end of last year in Rome, one of these statues was put in the city of this is what they used to sacrifice babies from. Why in the world would that be done, and why now? I think the message is clear.
I mean, I could see something like that in a museum, but not something that anybody would actually want to worship. And what about cornerstones of buildings or something that they would put sacrificed babies in that?
Yeah, well, yeah, that would be another aspect of this. So when a building was being made to dedicate it to the god and to get blessing, the baby would just be sealed in one of those, something like that. So that was not something that's mentioned explicitly in the Bible, which talks about passing children through the fire. In researching for this book, I got a few books on sacrifice, baby sacrifice, child sacrifice in the ancient world, and it's what's shocking is how widespread, how pervasive it was. But again, now a recent study arguing that babies can feel pain as early as 12 or 13 weeks in the womb. I'm wondering if people believe that to be true, would that affect the Shout Your Abortion movement? Honestly, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I saw a video recently where a gal in the pro-life movement was at a college campus. It's from April of last year, and she's interacting with a student there. And the student says that it's not a baby, that if a child survives abortion, that they should not be given health care. Why? Because it's not a baby. Why? Because they were going to abort it, but it survived abortion. Yeah, but they already decided they're going to abort it, so it's a fetus, not a baby. You think this is a college student? This is the level of lack of reasoning, lack of understanding. So it is a spiritual stronghold, but let's remember that Satan wants to destroy the women having abortions as much as the baby as well. So we must not look at the people involved as our primary enemies, although some of them are doing wickedly and will be accountable to God for that. But we must look at the devil who's out to destroy as our primary enemy.
Hmm. All right, we have about 2 minutes left. What needs to be said about this Jezebel book and this whole phenomenon? And by the way, I do think really, truly, conversion is the answer. And I mean by that Christian conversion, because I know people, I know even a colleague that is so pro-life, it's amazing, it's wonderful. But he used to be so pro-abortion and was so blind, you know, until Jesus changed his heart from the inside out. We look at Abby Johnson. I mean, her eyes, you know, were open when she saw that sonogram at her own abortion clinic, of which she was the manager. She walked out, I can't have anything to do with this anymore. God bless her. We need more conversions.
Yes, and I have friends of mine who are on the front lines day and night of the pro-life movement, and they can tell you, say in the city of Charlotte, I live near there, in their work there over the years, almost 5,000 babies saved and families
wow.
put together and follow up afterwards, and now abortion clinic workers coming to faith and,
yes.
and others testifying. I had a woman call my show one day, and she was a Christian woman who worked at Planned Parenthood, needed the money, was paid a lot, was a single mom at that point, and she was wondering if it was okay to do. And when I told her, you have to get out of there, you have to leave, etc., she then broke down crying on the phone and said, you got to see, you have to see what I've seen. It's talking about the so-called POC, the products of conception.
Mm.
She's being cross-trained.
Yeah.
And she says, they're babies, little babies. And she left there immediately, and folks helped her out, made sure she made it financially. And
yes.
then like a year later, she wrote to me, you know, Dr. Brown, my life's been saved. So thank God for that. And in Jezebel's War with America, when I was writing the book, I was gripped in an unusual way. I wrote about 70% of the core of the book in 6 days, writing day and night. There's a whole team fact-checking every single citation once it went to the publisher. And the book sold out. The first printing sold out the first week. We've
Praise
never
God.
Had anything like that happen. We hear from readers all the time, I can't put it down. I read it the same day. And the last two chapters deal with how to defeat Jezebel in our personal lives and how to defeat Jezebel on a national level. And if we will not be intimidated, if we will rise up in faith and give ourselves to prayer and repentance And if we will face down this giant and speak the truth and refuse to be bowed, we can see change come. Revival in the church leading to awakening in society. The bad news is that this has happened on our watch. The good news is that maybe 1% of the church even does anything about pro-life issues. If the church could be mobilized, the nation could be changed.
Amen. Dr. Michael Brown, askdrbrown.org for more information. Thank you, sir. All the best. God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye.